Welcome to the broadcast ministry of His Vision Ministries with Pastor Shane Lawson. God's word is unlike any other word. It is alive. Jesus said, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." John 6:63. These messages are intended to bring life application, hope, and encouragement from the Word of God. The purpose of His Vision's multimedia ministry is to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world through the use of technology and media as an outreach tool. We pray you will be blessed by today's message. Now here is Pastor Shane.
Promise made in the Garden of Eden that was foretold that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. We read about that in Genesis chapter 3. To the final prophetic utterance of Malachi, that is, there's an astonishing span, by the way, of more than four centuries unfolded without a single new revelation from God. And so it was during this time that the heavens were silent, the prophets had ceased, and their proclamations, and once all the vibrant promises appeared to be suspended in time. And so it's a profound silence that we see in God's Word. Faith began to wane. When we have to wait on God, guess what? Our faith begins to wane. That's what happened. The hope had started to dissipate. That's how God's people are even today. And the people of Israel had experienced intense suffering through exile and through oppression, all the harsh realities of the Roman occupation. And here's the thing, generations came and went. Amen. And so, and still the anticipated Messiah was yet to arrive. And so those who once held firm that in their belief that God could accomplish anything, they began to question, is God going to act at all? And that's exactly how you and I can be when God doesn't answer and when we think that God's not doing whatever. Now, I want to tell you something about that. Can you imagine the ease with which thoughts such as, and these are the things that people say today, but even back in this time, things of, well, perhaps God has forgotten us. Or maybe they failed them beyond measure. That thought started going through people's minds. Could it be that His promises have expired? Or maybe those things like that, the doubt began to take root in their mind. You know, in the midst of that long dark night of silence, the voice of the angelic messenger broke forth with a proclamation of hope. And I want us to read it here. Look with me, if you will, in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 30. And by the way, there is a mistake on this sheet that I printed out. I don't know what I was thinking, but Luke chapter 1 verses 36 through 36 is not. We're going to be in several verses, but we're starting in verse number 30 right now. Luke chapter 1, look at verse 30. The Bible says, "Fear not, thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." Now, as questions begin to fill Mary's heart, and her spirit began to tremble with uncertainty, heaven had provided a response filled with assurance, and it was simply what she said on the video, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible."
Amen.
And so that's what I've entitled the message this morning. You know, this profound truth from God's Word here serves as a foundation for our message. And listen, even our hope during this Christmas season, right? And so, reminding us of Jesus Christ is going to return. Let me say that. And so, that should never be viewed as an impossibility. I hear people all the time say, "Well, if He was going to return, why is it taking so long?" People say things like that even today. And so, for all things have already been rendered possible by God. Amen? And if God says that he's coming back, I'm here to tell you today, my friend, Jesus is coming back. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm ready. Amen? He can return at any moment. And you better be ready. The Bible says, be you ready. And so this passage of Scripture, it ought to encourage us today to remember that what God has done, that it's going to guarantee God will do. And so the accomplishments of the first Christmas, they provide us, I believe, with the assurance that He will fulfill His promises regarding the second. Now, from the accounts here shared by Luke and Matthew, along with the testimony found throughout all of Scripture, we're going to uncover today three significant truths about God who makes the impossible possible. And here's what I want you and I to take out the door today. Listen, when God steps in, think about this for just a moment. When God steps into our impossible moments, and listen, we all have those moments, right? His power will take and turn whatever that impossible moment is, whatever that uncertainty is, into assurance. And I'm going to tell you right now, it turns His promises into a reality.
Amen.
Now, that's what I want us to take away as we look at three things this morning. First of all, I want to talk to you about the patience of God's plan. Listen, God's delays are not derails. And they're not denials. His silence does not equate to some type of stillness. As we delve into this Luke chapter 1 today, I think we find ourselves entering into the concluding act of a narrative that has been unfolding over all these countless generations. And so God's people, guess what? Even we have clung to God's promises. Amen?
Amen.
And here we see, and even in our lifetimes, things seem to be delayed when we look around. I mean, sometimes I ask the question, and I'm not questioning God, but I think, how much more of this is God going to put up with? And so the prophet Isaiah had foretold, unto us a child is born, and to us a child is given.
Yes.
And so while Micah proclaimed in Micah 5:2, out of thee, Bethlehem, shall he come forth, and he shall be the ruler of Israel. That's what the Bible teaches. And so, yet as centuries have slipped by the hills of Bethlehem, they've remained silent. And the throne of David stood unoccupied. The promises of God seemed to fade into obscurity. And I want you to know today that when the angel of Gabriel had finally appeared to the humble young woman in Nazareth, he was not introducing a new plan. A lot of people think, well, it's some new plan. It's not a new plan. Let me tell you something. God don't have new plans.
Amen.
God has the plan. He was continuing a divine orchestration. That's right. Excuse me. Carefully crafted. See, God doesn't just, bam, we're going to do it like this. God has a plan that's crafted, and it was over time. Listen, I want to tell you today, my friend, heaven was not improvising. It was fulfilling a promise that was long awaited. Let's go into verse 31. The Bible says, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Now, I want you to observe how intentional and specific the angel's message was. God had not forsaken his plan. Rather, he had been patiently preparing for the unfolding of his plan. Now, let me say this. The promise was ancient. God's redemptive plan was established before the dawn of time. That's why I say it was ancient. As a matter of fact, in Revelation 13:18, it refers to Christ as the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world.
Amen.
And listen, every prophecy, every priesthood, and sacrifice from Genesis all the way to Malachi pointed toward this climatic moment where Jesus was going to be born. Listen, in the instances when humanity had forgot, guess what? God reminded, and he remained steadfast in his remembrance. And so when nations turned against him, guess what? God remained faithful. Right now, nations are turning against God. I'm telling you now, God is still faithful. Amen. And so God remained faithful. When Israel wandered away, and oh, did they, from his path, guess what? He patiently awaited their return. Not only was the promise ancient, but the pause was purposeful. For 400 years, the Bible says, there was silence. And that did not signify God's absence. Rather, it was a period of preparation for an imminent arrival. The stage, by the way, of the world had been miraculously set. And so the construction of the Roman roads, if you go back and look through history and read the historical part of things, facilitated the spread of the gospel, praise God. While the Greek language provided a common means of communication, additionally, let me say this, that the Jewish synagogues had scattered throughout the nations, served ready-made pulpits for the proclamation of God's Word. And so, as precisely at the right moment, guess what? As the Bible says in the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verse number 4, in the fullness of time. Now, God sent forth in the fullness of time His Son. Amen?
Amen.
And then, let me say this, the plan was precise. Every promise made by God was fulfilled, guess what? With exacting precision. A virgin conceived, a Savior was born in Bethlehem, and He descended from David's lineage, the Bible teaches. And I want you to know, each detail that we read about, every detail that we read about this in God's Word, aligned perfectly with His divine design.
Amen. Yes.
And so this consistently serves you and I as a powerful reminder that God's patience is never passive. Listen, we may find it difficult to perceive His hand at work, but I'm going to tell you this, we can still trust His heart. Amen. And even though He may appear to be delayed, I want you to know today, His plans, as I've already said, are never derailed.
Amen.
During World War II, British chaplain David Roughton often used a field telegraph to send urgent messages from the front lines. One night, needing immediate help for wounded soldiers, he tapped out the message. How many of you used a telegram? Brother Dan. They're neat. I've seen one in action, so I've got to say I've used one. But, no, I don't use one on a daily basis because they don't exist like they used to, right? But you can go down to the museum in Florida and they've got one set up. But anyway, one night needing immediate help, he tapped out a message, but nothing came back. No signal, no reply, just silence. And David assumed that the line was down. Hours later, an operator rushed in and said, "Chaplain, your message went through instantly. The line never stopped working. The reason you heard nothing back is because we were working frantically on the other end to respond." David, the man on the screen here, later wrote, and I quote, "Heaven's telegraph never goes dead. My silence wasn't God's stillness. It was simply the sound of Him working." That is what he said. The point that I want to share that, the reason I even share that illustration with you today is for this reason. I want you to know, even when God seems silent, think about this, He is never still.
Amen, brother. Amen.
His delays are not denials. Guess what they are? They are preparation. Always remember, when we have to wait on God, it's a preparation. And so we ought to have waiting without wavering in our lives. How frequently do we find ourselves mirroring Israel's frustration during our own seasons of life, right? Every delay is God's schedule, and it presents an opportunity, I believe, for you and I to deepen our dependence on Him and Him alone and strengthen our faith. Even though it may seem like it's a slow response, let me tell you, rest assured, God is never late.
Amen.
So, number one, we see the patience of God's plan. Number two, we see the power of God's performance. Listen, God's promises are never constrained by human possibilities. When Mary received the angel's message, her response was both candid and relatable. Notice what it says back in Luke chapter 1, verse 34. How shall this be? Notice this, seeing I know not a man. Now, Mary was not expressing God's doubt in God's capabilities. What she was trying to do was grasp His methodology. What she was essentially saying right here was, Lord, I believe You can do this, but guess what? I don't comprehend it. And I can say that about a lot of things God does. Isn't that where our faith begins to falter? We may agree in theory that God can accomplish all things. We'll come in here and sing about that. But guess what? When His methods and when His methods challenge our logic, guess what? When it begins to challenge our understanding, that's when our faith begins to waver. Oh. Gabriel's response to Mary serves, I believe, as an answer to every believer that was confronted with seemingly, that's ever got any kind of seemingly impossible circumstance in their lives. Look at verse 35. The Bible says, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Look at verse 37, our main verse where we get the topic of this message today. If anybody wants to know where the subject line come from for this message, it came right out of this verse. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Who can say amen?
Amen.
That statement is not some merely suggestion or some probability. It is a declaration of certainty there. It does not say perhaps with God, but it rather asserts that as we read this right here, that nothing shall be impossible.
Amen.
The emphasis, guess what? It lies on God's absolute capability to fulfill exactly what He has promised. You know, God's power defies human logic. The idea of a virgin conceived, a child, it transcends beyond biology. How many took biology in school? Not enough. I mean, you can't even understand that part of it, right? Well, neither can I. So, a carpenter's wife bearing the Christ, that gives some societal expectations that are beyond our comprehension. But you know what? Our Creator is not constrained by the laws that He created. Just as He brought forth light from the darkness and life from dust, He introduced divinity into humanity. The eternal being entered into time, and the infinite became an infant. And I want you to know what appeared impossible became inevitable, and it only did that by His power.
Amen.
Now I want you to turn over, if you would, to the book of Matthew. Back to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew recounts that Joseph, upon receiving a similar message from an angel, obeyed. And remember, you seen in the video, God didn't say to Joseph, nothing shall be impossible. I always liked playing Joseph in a Christmas program. Has anybody in here ever played the character Joseph in a Christmas play? You know why I enjoyed that character? He never says anything. Matthew 1:24, being raised from sleep and did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. Now that's a remarkable example of trust. Let me tell you this, not only is God's power defies human logic, God's power demonstrates holy sovereignty. When Gabriel proclaimed the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, he was announcing an act of divine intervention here. The work of salvation has always been initiated and completed by God. Let me tell everybody in here something about right now that's worth being here for today. If your salvation is based on some pastor or some man or some woman or some church member or something, I'm telling you right now, you better get saved today, because I'm going to tell you the only person that can save you is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Just as Mary cannot conceive without the power of the Spirit, you and I, we cannot experience the spiritual rebirth apart from that same Spirit's work. And so the miracle of the incarnation reflects the miracle of the regeneration. And I'm going to tell you today, both are impossible through any human effort whatsoever, yet entirely achievable only through God. These Jehovah Witnesses, and I'll call them by name, that go and knock on doors and think they're going to get to heaven by their good works, I'm here to tell you right now, they're going to get to hell by knocking on doors.
Amen. Come on, brother.
God's power delivers hope in hopeless situations. Listen, if you read and you look at Mary and Joseph, they were ordinary, right? I mean, Joseph was your average Joe. Impoverished individuals from inconspicuous village. Yet, God chose to reveal His power through their lives. That's right. Amen. You know, Abraham and Sarah, remember them? They were barren. Yet God blessed them with a son, right? Moses was a fugitive, but God called him to liberate a nation. David was merely a shepherd, but guess what? Yet God elevated him into kingship. Mary here was a virgin, and God appointed her to a vessel to the Savior, to be a vessel to the for the Savior. Think about that. Listen, if He can achieve such remarkable feats through them, what can He accomplish for you?
Amen.
Listen, we need to remember God's record, right? When doubt arises, and it does, and circumstances in our lives appear impossible, you and I, we must follow the example that was set right here by Mary and Joseph. I want you to remember this. We talked a little bit about some of these in our study in Sunday school here lately, going through the book of Deuteronomy and Numbers. Recall the parting of the Red Sea. Remember the walls of Jericho that came tumbling down? Reflect on the lions' mouths that were miraculously closed. God can do that. Consider the cross that triumphed over sin. Recall the tomb that transformed into a symbol of victory. Every past victory, my friend, serves as evidence of future possibilities.
Amen.
And then we see the last thing, the promise of God's purpose. We'll go back over to Luke. What God initiated during this first coming of Christ, He's certainly going to bring to completion during the second. The angel's proclamation, for with God nothing shall be impossible, served not only as a source of comfort for Mary, but also a call for faith in you and I as believers. Amen?
Amen.
And throughout all the generations. And I think this statement right here also serves and functions as both a declaration and an invitation. It asserts that God is capable of performing the impossible. Some of y'all may have read something I posted on Facebook. I'm praying every day for the rest of my life till God answers the prayer. I'm tired of the thorn in my side, and He's going to deal with it. And somebody says, oh, well, what is it? Listen, that's irrelevant. I don't even have to go there. It's nothing going on here. But I'm going to tell you right now, I know with assurance, Brother John, that God knows my heart, and God will deal with it.
Amen.
In His terms.
Amen, brother.
Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And I want to tell you, Christmas serves as a reminder that we exist between two impossibilities. The miraculous events of Christ's first coming and the majestic promise of His second. So we see here the pattern of the first coming, the promise of God's purpose. I want you to consider quickly how the first coming unfolded. God promised a Savior, right? And although the world waited and with bated breath, He arrived just as He foretold. Don't forget that. The angel conveyed to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. I had y'all turn too quick. He said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save their people from their sins. You know, he fulfilled that promise by living a sinless life. Amen?
Amen.
He made the ultimate sacrifice and rising triumphantly from the dead. Every prophecy that is related to his first coming was executed flawlessly. Not a single word of God, I want you to know, fell to the ground unfulfilled. The prospect of his second coming is the next thing I want us to notice. We find ourselves right now, you and I, let's fast forward from that time, 2,000 years ago, nearly, to right now. And guess what? Here we are, you and I. What are we doing? We're waiting, right? What are we, Brother David, what are we singing about a lot here when we all get to heaven, right? I mean, really, to be honest, there's a lot more songs in the hymnal that are really Christmas songs. He's got that right. I don't know about you, but I'm waiting for the moment that I can be in heaven.
Amen.
And we find ourselves waiting. The same Jesus who came in humility once, guess what? He's going to return one of these days in glory.
Yes.
Now, we're going to be called up out of here, and then there's going to be, obviously, a period of time that can be debated by some, but that's okay. But here's what I want to remind you of. He's going to come back. And Jesus himself assured us with the words, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again.
Amen.
I didn't make that up. You can go look that up in the Gospel according to John. That's exactly right. Chapter 14, verse 3. You know, the angels reaffirmed this promise with the declaration in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. This same Jesus shall come in like manner. You know, Paul expounded on this, by the way. I'm not going to get into this today for the sake of time, but you can write these verses down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. And also, while John envisioned it in Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16. We've already studied that back some time ago in our end time series. The same voice that spoke to Mary now, guess what? Reaches out to us proclaiming that nothing is impossible with God. That's what I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ calling us up out of here. We're going to be with Him, right?
Amen.
The dead shall rise first. Can you imagine that? I mean, think about that. We go through a period of time. Most people say 7 years, and you can give or take a little bit. I mean, more give, I guess. Not a lot longer, but there's some days there. But anyway, here's the thing. He's got a plan, and then he's going to be coming back, and the victory is going to win. I'm telling you, the second coming after the rapture, can you imagine? Listen, if he orchestrated the incarnation, he's more than capable today, my friend, of orchestrating the consummation. If he could raise Jesus from the dead, he can surely return in glory.
Amen.
And the last thing, the perseverance of God's people. You know what? Because of this assured promise, you and I can approach life. And we can do it with patient perseverance. Christmas is not a passive period of waiting. It's an active season of vigilance. And you know, Paul articulated in Titus 2:13 that we are looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We await His return. And I'm going to tell you right now, not in despair. No, not at all. But with eager anticipation. How many of you are anticipating Him?
Amen.
Listen, we serve not from a place of fear, but from a foundation of faith. Amen. We live not in darkness, I want you to know, but in the hopeful light of dawn.
Amen.
The same God who accomplished the impossible with Mary's womb will ultimately fulfill His divine purpose. And that divine purpose, by the way, is for the world. We ought to be living in hope and peace and joy and in love. And you know what? This Christmas season, I believe, and I want to say this before we go into the invitation in a moment, prompts us to remember that Christ's coming is marked by a turning point in the narrative of human history. His first arrival transformed despair into hope, turmoil into peace, sorrow into joy, and selfishness into love. And as I say that, we need to proclaim today, our God is the God of the impossible.